Monday, November 28, 2022, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 2:45 p.m. Dakota County Board of Commissioner meeting at 3 o'clock p.m.
Well, we probably will, unless you want me to go really slow and read everything.
You probably don't have to.
I don't think that I will. Okay, it's 2:45.
Hey,
I'd like to call the Board of Equalization a meeting. Stand and say the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county boardroom and is available for review of all citizens in attendance. Will you call roll, please, Sean?
Scott Love.
Yes.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Larry Albanicious was just here.
He went to grab a bite.
Troy Lonsby.
Here.
Robert Giese.
Here.
Okay, up first, we got the consent agenda items. Are you going to do something with Larry or just hold on?
I'll just note when he comes in.
Okay. Consent agenda items, we got the approval of the previous minutes from October 31st of 2022.
I can make a motion to
Okay, Troy. And second?
I'll second.
Jim. Bob? Jim. Whatever. Okay, we got Troy and Bob. Will you call roll, please?
Janet?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. Okay, new business here at 2:45, which it's there, is a hearing for the Boys and Girls Home in Nebraska. It's an application for exemption for motor vehicle taxes, qualifying for nonprofit organization on a 2004 Chevy Express van. The VIN ending in, looks like 412-08215. It's a social service agency that we use to transport staff and clients. Okay. Formality, like every other week. I know Dawn's here. So with that said, we'll need a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the exemption.
Okay, we got a motion by Janet.
Second.
And a second by Troy on the 2004 Chevy Express van. Will you call roll, please, Joe?
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, on B, it's another hearing for at 2:46, which we're there for Heartland Counseling. It's exemption for a motor vehicle taxes by qualifying nonprofit organization on a 2016 Chevy Impala. The VIN ending in 113-1096. And it's provided services, crisis response, peer support, and day support services to clients who have mental health or substance abuse issues. Again, same thing, formality.
Correct.
Yep. Okay. A motion on this exemption?
So moved.
Okay. We got Bob.
I can second it.
And Janet as a second. Will you call roll, please, Joan?
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry? Troy?
Yes.
Okay. With that there, we'll move to number three. We got mail emergency business. Is there any, Joan, to your recollection? I don't see anything.
No.
Okay. Public comment. Anybody from the public want to express anything here? Okay, if not, it is 2:48. We are adjourned.
Oh boy.
That's as simple as that.
Hey, Kim, a question. The Board of Commissioners meeting to order. We've already done the pledge. So we will start with the roll call, please, Joan.
Robert Giese.
Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Larry Albanicious. Troy Lonsby.
Thank you. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall in the near the entrance to the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The county board of commissioners reserves the right to adjust the order of the any item not on the agenda. The chair has the discretion also to limit the time of comment. The first item is public comment. Anybody here for any item that is not on the agenda? Seeing none, we will move on then to item two, which consists of the consent agenda, which includes the approval of previous minutes from November 14th, approval of payroll claims, approval of accounts payable claims, and approval of officials' reports, deeds, clerk, and clerk of district court. Larry and I went over the claims this afternoon, and everything seemed to be in order, so I would entertain a motion.
So moved. Consent agenda items.
Second.
Moved by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. Thank you. Moving on then to new business. Item A, Walt Bierman, Crystal Lake Improvement Association requesting 155th Street and Lackawanna be to be hard surfaced. Walt, the floor is yours. Welcome.
Yes, thanks for allowing me to come in. I see my voice kind of disappearing for some reason. It's called growing old. I guess you guys have seen us here before, because I want to be active in the community. And one of the things that we've addressed numerous times, even when I was out in Colorado, was the road conditions. And what I'd like to do this morning, this afternoon, is to cover the things that you guys have fixed for us, and thank you. This is one of the projects that you fixed for us. Hopefully, they never return. That was a county road that was never had a ditch. The cornfield was higher than the road. And these are some more of the antics that the weather plays on us. But we have a lot of traffic that comes out there. And here's another one.
These are the back when it reached the rain.
Well, these are over a period of 5 years, almost 6 years, since we come back. And some of these are in the spring when we didn't get any rain. This one's very current. I think within the last week or two, I took that one. And this is looking the other direction, looking west. And all these have been, these parts have been solved. But there's a, and this was taken back somewhere in the other 6 year period. But there's two of them that haven't been solved yet. And that's primarily the Rumbles or Washboarding that continues on. And it finally caught up with me, and I got put a new hinge in my back car. My car is loaded, just shaking apart. That one, I'll leave the last one, and I hope we can just take and shelve those today with the improvements that we'd like to make out there. A lot of this has happened over, I think the last that road was put in there about 50 years ago. You have always come back and tried to solve it, but we think we needed time to improve it. There's some things happening out there that I think we need to have some more help out there. One of the things that we looked at here about a month ago, in my dreams at night, I'm always building or dreaming. I had a dream that I could bring the city sewer across underneath the lake because I see no water there. And I mentioned to my neighbor, Bill Hafke, which everybody knows. And Bill says, you know, that's not a bad dream. And one thing led to another, and he went and visited with Lance Hedquist. And they're doing a study of the feasibility of it. Because right now we only got 15 homes. Well, word got around to my neighbor across, Gene Marge, everybody knows Gene Marge, that he's been kicking around to put in homes all on the opposite side of the road if they're going to put in a improvement of putting city sewer on it. And by all means, if we ever get our own lake back, and that's another project I just want to touch on, the state would really appreciate us closing up our septic tanks and have city sewer. So that'd be a big plus for improvement on her also. So those are some of the items that all came about on it. And then I'm talking to a property owner that's just to the, well, it used to be just south of the Pink Elephant. There's a grove of trees there. We won't be able to trace them later. Have you ever thought about if the lake ever comes back and we fix it up, that you would be open-minded to put a bunch of homes all along that? Because it would be a beautiful lake if we get it done. Mm-hmm. And be some great home improvement. So now I can pick up possibly 15 homes all along Gene Murray's property, and then I think it was Catherine Morgan Estate. I think she sold it to a Bushgate on it. And so there's another possible development there to improve that area. And I'm talking to Mark just a little bit. Mark Calvinist, everybody knows Mark. I know he's been doing a lot of work to the end of our property down there. The possibility of he plans on building some homes down there when he gets done taking sand fill out of it. And the possibility of putting some homes down there. And when you start thinking about the future of what can be done, gee, we got a big lake here. The lake is over 5,000 feet long and 500 feet wide. If you go just a little, about a quarter mile further east and turn back north, you're right on the Sawmill Road that's already paved halfway. You could literally build a road all the way around that lake for future expansion. And so we thought that all this development, this would give us a good project. What's developed since then is everybody knows that the Salvation Army bought the property. They bought it for $1.9 million. I don't know if everybody knew the price tag of it.
The Goodwill Camp?
Yes, the Goodwill Camp. And they turned around and spent $10.9 million more in debt. And I went and visited to the manager over there. They're sick to their stomach, literally. They've got over $13 million put into that, and there's no water. I can pass around a picture if you guys want to see. It's heartbreaking. But anyway, so the possibilities started coming about, and I started getting on looking in the internet. Nebraska's got more money than I've ever seen ever looking in there to spend. And what's really crazy, some of these expenditures are only the governor and the executive board has mm-hmm. to make the decision on it. Don't even have to go back up to the channels of the federal government. And the money is staggering, some, $1.4 billion that's just there sitting there. And I thought, what a wonderful opportunity to get this lake dredged. I've spent quite a bit of time with Mark Calvinicius on the proper way of doing that, because we have a different situation there. There's no water there. So we have to dig a hole deep enough to get water. And we may have to pump water in for it to get it started, to dredge it. But I've talked to several owners about where to get rid of the silt that we pull out of it. There are pits that were money, or the dirt was taken out with to build the Interstate 20 on it and fill them up. And they were just, absolutely, you can have that pits to fill up. So we covered a lot of grounds. And I've sent made contact with the Dakota City, how you pronounce it, the not human resource takes care of all the water things that are happening in Dakota County. And
rural water?
No.
Down in Missouri?
Down in Missouri? Yeah, on all the projects with water. And he gave me a number down in Omaha to talk to. They have actually a project for, or money grants for dredging lakes. He says, come on down. And I shared the story with him a little bit, and he knew some of it, didn't know all of it. And he says, I'm sure we could put something together for you. And I said, well, should we run this through the city of South Sioux City with Lance Edquist, or through the park, which is nonprofit, by the way. Anything nonprofit goes to the first of the list on it. So we have a tremendous opportunity to get something done. And then what can grow from that? I'm excited. You know, we got the new Gamble place coming in. They're still going to build that, aren't they? They had to wait till they finished up those in Omaha.
They're talking about it.
Yeah.
It's still in the works.
But, I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen there on that lake project. But number one, what I was kind of blown away that we have all those homes on the south side of it where we now live on that field. That could happen pretty rapidly on it. And I know there's some funds available for putting in sewer water.
Walt? Did you say somebody would build homes there? Did you say,
yeah,
is that Gene Murray?
Gene Murray?
Uh-huh.
He wants to build, he said, approximately 15 homes. And he really liked the idea of the rural water because he didn't want to put any more septic tanks out there.
Right.
But
it wasn't a killer, though.
No.
It wasn't a killer for the septic system.
Yeah, it was just more blessed out that, you know, the development of that area, because nothing's really moved for a long time. And I think the opportunity is really, really ripe with the money that's sitting there on the table. Somebody's going to spend it. And I think there's tremendous need for that campgrounds when they've got that much money and all the buildings they built in there to actually have stay all night in cottages, over 300 kids. So it's a very big facility now. And it's going to be open to the public on it. And
That 155th Street, so how much of that, or what's the distance on that would be
from
meet hard
surface?
From
the bus turns around to the highway is 4,550 feet. That's measured with the wheel, so, but fairly accurate.
Okay.
And I think I talked to Larry here about, we talked 22 foot wide and kicking around.
Mm-hmm.
I had gotten some prices when I had 4 inches, just square footage price.
Mm-hmm.
It was around $300,000, but you got to narrow that down. What changes are going to be made on that? Are you going to have little bump outs for all the mailboxes are there? All those things you have to take consideration into specs,
mm-hmm,
for whoever's doing the bidding on it. But you have any questions?
I'll just make a comment. Well, I do know, Walt, and you know that the board, we've looked at other projects as well. And one of the things that continues to come back, or questions that I get from people, whether it's M Avenue or whether it's 155th Street, is what is the return on investment for the county? And so when you talk about somebody going to build homes, et cetera, well, then I think all of us, that kind of piques our interest, I mean, in a particular project. So I certainly appreciate you coming with this because, we've been talking for 4 years now about M Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that gets done or not, I don't know. But that's anyway. So that's part of our discussions, and that's a big project. Yours, Yours, however, I mean, there are no small projects, but this is a little, we're talking a little less money and potential revenue for the county for future development there. So I think that all kind of ties into it, and at least for those of us that are still going to be on the board, you know, that's going to be a discussion going forward, and you know, you never know. So you know, we've asked from the start for folks like you to tell us what we need, and we've done some things throughout the county.
What kind of got me started on this is I got an application, because one of the things is that whether you do the project or not, go ahead and apply for a permit to do the project. And that was through the, what is right here in this building? Got to see in a moment. But anyway, I got the application. And the very first question, what is the purpose of your project? Now, that makes you start to think, like you're just saying, on. Mm-hmm. And the second question even was more too direct. What's your plan? And that's when I started to think about all the things that we could. A lake property becomes very valuable, and they would build on it immediately if there's lots to be available for it. I didn't realize this. I did more research that Crystal Lake is the largest lake within 50 miles of Dakota County. And it stood the test of 166 years, and it was still here this spring. And unfortunately, with the weather and the degradation of the river.
Is there any water in that now, Wall, at all?
I got very some little. Pictures I'll pass.
Very little. Very little. I didn't think there was. I mean, you can't see any from the...
No. There's a little bit of pond that's probably 6 inches thick, deep, that probably got all the fish that was in that lake. Yeah. But, and you can add on to what I just talked about as far as the environment and the ducks and geese and the animals, all that comes into play. And we have all that out there in the country. We have geese right across the road. They feed in there all the time. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things can open up from the three things that we got, the homes that can go pretty quickly. If Gene, he's supposed to be here today. He's promised me he'd be here.
But probably working.
Yeah. But anyway, super neighbor, and he really wants to give back to the community. He says, anything I can do to help, I'm on board.
And well, that's good to know. It is. It's really good to know from the board's perspective.
There's a lot of groups, and I've been out talking to people all over on this, and everybody wants it, but we've never been able to push it through because the main object was we just don't have the money funds to do that. I come up with some estimates on it, somewhere around $3.8 million at $5 a cubic yard. To do the total dredging of it. And there's going to have to be a couple of specs written up on that. But anybody else got any questions?
No, it's an interesting fact, though, Walt. Thank you. I can't, kind of going off of Bob, you know, it's hard to say where this could and would go. And I know over the years, I've had letters from a lot of people that live out there that would send me letters of wanting to, you know, let's regroup, let's have this a lake again. You know, I get it. I mean, a lot of people lived out there for years, and, you know, when I was a kid, I remember it being open.
I think so many of us have such memories out there.
Yeah.
Sharon McKnight, I went and visited with her, and here she is in her 80s. And
Shirley Knight,
yeah, yes.
Yeah.
And she's got letters to the governor. I've got copies of
I know that. She's worked hard on it. I know she has.
She really has, and she was really excited that somebody picked up the anvil and said, let's give it a go. And the timing is just perfect when you run into a cause, a huge cause, someone that actually had a beautiful park over there. Where is that located? It used to be one somewhere near Omaha, Decatur, Nebraska. is where they had.
I'm not sure.
Somewhere near, but anyway, you know, they lost everything. And I got the letter that Mrs. Thompson, she runs the new park over mm-hmm. there, where they were hog heaven when they found this piece of property, and then proceeded to put $13 million in. That means they want it awfully, awfully bad, and then to have it dry up and what happened on this case, it, just to put it all together, we just don't want to drop the ball.
Well, listen, we appreciate you being here. I know your concerns, and I know you're pretty passionate about that. But I'm going to, we're going to move on, but I want to ask if there's anybody else here that wants to add anything about this that Walt did not address. So if you would just come forward and give us your name and address for the record, please.
Thanks, Walt.
Thank you, Walt.
I would just like to make a comment.
Name and address for us.
My name is Paul Eichholt, and I live on Lickawanta Drive.
Okay.
I moved here recently on 31st of March. At that time, Lickawanta Drive was in good condition. I would like to, how often is it graded? Does anybody know?
I mean, I can't answer that. I mean, honestly, I mean,
it's because since I moved there on the 31st of March that I know of, it's only been graded one time. At this time, it is in deplorable condition. It's so washboardy you can't drive over 10 miles an hour. Otherwise, the back end of your vehicle jumps to the side.
So Bill's not taking care of it right now, Bill Hapke?
If he has.
I know he has.
If he has, I haven't seen him.
Okay.
And to me, it just seems like the road is going down, and right now, like I say, you can't drive over 10 miles an hour with a light-end vehicle.
Yeah. Well, we'll get the road department after that, then. Jolene's here. She can take a note and have somebody run over and take a look at it.
It is washboardy almost from completely through.
Usually what would happen, to my recollection, and maybe you guys can feed in a little bit on the road department, but if something Bill's passion is making sure that road's good. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know this. But if something is above and beyond his means, you know, he would make a phone call, and then the road department would go out there.
If he's grading it regularly, then that's not doing the job.
And I'm not saying it's his job, but it's just that's the way he wants it to be, and I know he does that. Does he still do that, guys? Do you know?
I don't know.
He has called us and told us to stay off the road, and he will tell us when he wants it graded.
I know. Yeah. I know. That is so Bill. I know. So anyways, needless to say, Jolene, would you have Brent go down there tomorrow and take a look at it and see?
If he's grading it on a regular basis, then something else needs to be done, because the base of the road is solid washboardy.
Okay.
And when you come out to Highway 110, you can't turn right anymore because there's such potholes in it. You have to go over to where somebody's turning in and go over that side and look and make sure there's nobody coming, then get on the road. It's that bad.
It's bad from the highway to Shirley's. Beyond Shirley's a little bit is what's really the worst.
Right. Shirley's first house?
It's the first time it's graded. It should be graded every week.
Thank you. Thanks for coming, though.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
When you see anything graded, though, you can call the roads department or the commissioner's numbers are online. So.
Okay.
Anybody else? Yes, sir. You want to come up, please? Name and address.
I live on Lake Guana, 655.
Name?
Dustin Kell. I just moved there about a year ago, so I'm kind of the new one, but we moved there for the lake. You know, I got two little kids, and it just seemed like a waste to have that lake just disappear, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have much else to say about it, but...
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
You know,
it really is.
Seemed like it'd be a good thing for the public, you know, dredge and make it usable for everybody, you know? Yeah.
No, you're right.
That's all I have. Nothing all right. Too much.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else on that, this particular project? All right. Thank you all for coming. We will then move on to item B, which is Bruce Davis. Sasso City regarding Millis Beach survey issue and how to resolve. Bruce, welcome.
Thank you. Commissioners, County Attorney, and County Clerk, I've been working with Joan for about 2 months on a project at 1610 Erie Drive.
Are you in politics, may I ask?
No.
Just the way you...
1610 Erie Drive is owned by Pat Engel. I'm his pro bono property manager, and Pat couldn't be here today. He's a little under the weather. But anyway, since that time has happened, our surveyors worked with the county surveyor to try to figure out the issue really is the northwest pin right-of-way is gone. I know I've talked to all of the commissioners. And so we had a survey done, and I gave that survey to Joan, along with a petition to vacate part of that road right-of-way. It doesn't affect the road itself, just the portion between the road and a little bit towards the property itself. So I've given that to her so that can be put on the agenda and start working as normal state statute issues are. So I think we're on the road to the right solution to it. And everybody knows the issues out of Millis Beach, and just for your information, I've talked to a number of surveyors that wouldn't even go out there. They said it is just an absolute mess, and I know the county's had a number of surveys done. We've looked at those plats, and Tim, your current county surveyor, Lamperk, and our surveyor were together. They decided the best way to use pin marker to work, look at to get this on. So we've submitted the petition already for the property owners, and we should have everything ready. So if you have any questions.
So the bottom line, Bruce, is you said that they go back to the original plat. Is that how they
determine? It's one of the original plats before Wayne Wheeler did his. And so they both agreed, the surveyors both agreed, that the best place to start is right there, and then they go from that particular place. Okay. Any questions?
No.
No, thanks. I'm not in politics.
Not for long.
Not for long.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you. Okay. Then moving on to, unless there's anything else on that item, then moving on to item C. Mike Bowden is here, I believe, from NACO Blue Cross Blue Shield, requesting consideration of bidding county's health insurance and having access to necessary data. Mike, hello.
Great. Thank you. I've got a couple things, but if you don't mind, I can just have those passed around. That would be great. Just a little bit of information on NACO and the benefit services, which is the part that I worked on. And I appreciate the time on your agenda today. I haven't had an opportunity to get to Dakota County and formally introduce myself. I'm Mike Bowden, the benefit services manager with the NACO Benefit Services. I don't want to bore you with too much insurance stuff, but for over 40 years, for over 40 years, NACO has ran a health insurance pool and have added to that with dental insurance, life insurance, and a number of different benefits. So we try to act as kind of a single point of contact for counties if you want to tap into the services that are provided through the association. Currently, we work with about, I think, 58 counties and then another 27, I believe, health departments, area offices on aging, and those type of organizations. I think there's five county-owned hospitals or county-connected hospitals anyway that we work with as well. So all across the state, we offer, like I say, a number of plans. Traditionally, we've always done a pooled, fully insured health insurance program and dental insurance program. We also have the ability to provide self-funded proposals as well. So I know the county has entered into an agreement with Zelle to help with a number of things, but one of them is doing the bid for the health insurance and benefits program. So I just wanted to make sure that I formally introduced ourselves, or myself, and the service that we can provide. And, with the bid opportunity, we'd like to be able to bring, or at least look at, fully insured proposals, self-funded proposals, and then a number of different insurance companies that are adequately staffed to provide the services that Dakota County and their employees deserve. So what we'd like to do is, put together all those proposals for you, share them with Zelle or share them with the board, however you think that process should look. We would really like to be involved in bringing the options and let you decide what makes sense.
Joan, I got a question real quick. Have they ever looked at our plan before? Do you
Blue
recall?
Cross Blue Shield?
Yeah, well, just through NACO.
No.
It just kind of surprises me that.
Yeah.
I mean, you said you did 58 counties.
Yeah. So.
Years and years and years ago, Dakota County was part of Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm working on my second year in this capacity, so I don't know all the history, but I believe maybe 2 years ago or 3 years ago there was a proposal that was brought in, but it really didn't meet the specifications that you were asking for at that time, so I don't know how much consideration was given to it. So I just, you know, that's, I guess, part of the reason why be here is just to make sure that we can bring you proposals that can be fully vetted by you guys, and, you know, make sure that we're bringing the right information forward for full consideration. So that's what we're hoping for. And I know Zell, any company that does the bids like that, I don't know if you're going to use them to round everything up or if you're going to, you know, run everything through the clerk's office, which is,
well, that's what we're paying them for.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
At least that's the way I look at it anyways.
So the way that they can bid that out, you know, one is they may get the same proposals from 20 different brokers. Because if I go to Blue Cross or United Healthcare or Aetna for a fully insured proposal, I'm going to get the same thing that any other broker is going to get. So somebody's going to have to sort through all that. The hard part is I may bring in a proposal that meets your bid specifications. Somebody else might bring one in that's just barely different, and it's really difficult to dig through all that minutiae to figure out where those little bitty differences are. So that's where Zell, you know, using a company like Zell, it kind of helps filter out all that information is helpful. But anyway, like I say, we're excited to help out. And just an overarching mission of NACO itself, you know, we're here as a resource for counties. So whether you're using our benefits program or not, you know, we're still here as a reference or a resource for you. So, you know, whatever we can do to help out, that's what our task is.
When you say you're looking at information, what was it here? Requesting consideration of bidding and have access to necessary information, necessary data. Isn't your plan a pooled plan, though, with all counties? So even though you might want to see the data from Dakota County, you're pooling it with the whole state.
Right. Yep. So what we would look at is on the pool plan, which is a proprietary plan, no other brokers can bring that to you.
Okay.
But it's not always the right fit for counties. You know, you're self-funded now. That program is fully insured.
Okay.
So we would like to have the ability to look at self-funded programs as well, and not only the pool. So we can go direct to Blue Cross and get a proposal on your behalf,
okay,
and then we can look at the pool, see which one of those really makes sense. And then we would shop Medica, United Healthcare, Aetna, and then, you know, the full self-funded with the stop-loss carriers, similar to what's in place now. What will happen probably before long, Zell is going to request a whole bunch of information, claims history, census data, whole lot of things that underwriters want to see. And from a timeline standpoint, you know, this is about the time to kind of kick that off for a March 1st effective date, if that's what you're going to stay with.
Makes sense.
So. Anyway, just like I say, I just want to make sure that I have a chance to introduce myself, and everybody's going to conference here in a couple of weeks. Look forward to seeing you there.
Yep. All right, yep. Mike. We'll see you again.
Good idea.
Thank you.
Good idea.
Thank you. Moving on to item D, approved resolution 22C-028 for approval of pledged securities release. This is just one of those that come to the board for the release.
Deb Buske, come on down.
I'm here.
It was this way, it wasn't the paper. I'm sorry. I think I meant your name wrong in the paper.
Okay.
I thought maybe it was your middle name or something.
Yeah,
I never know about.
This is just normal procedure. We were overpledged. And Bank First requested that we release these two. Sorry, just looking for a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right, can I make a motion?
Yes.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 22C-028 for the approval of the pledge securities release.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I can second that.
Okay, motion by Scott, seconded by Janet. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
All right, item E is approved Resolution 22C-029 for approval of Broger's subdivision plat located in South Sioux City, extraterritorial jurisdiction and part of the northeast quarter of Section 32, Township 29 North, Range 9 East. Joan, refresh my memory again. This one is by Atticab and
Gateway Drive.
Gateway Drive, thank you.
Billy Rogers.
Okay, and this is just our approval.
It's gone to planning and zoning, and they brought approval. It forward with approval.
Right.
This subdivision will not be annexed into the city, is what they told planning and zoning.
Can you pull the map up, Joan, or not? I mean, I see the map, but I just...
Yep.
Please.
I still have it up. Is there a parcel number?
Looks like it's... No. Maybe there is on this here.
So it would be Gateway Drive by the fairgrounds, right? Right here?
Right.
Is it right on the corner?
Right there, John.
Yeah.
Oh, that helps you.
Oh, it's right there. It's right on the...
Right here?
It's on the main track, right?
Is it the piece of property they built up off Atticab Drive?
Yeah. There? Yeah.
Then he sold the Kruger and then got back.
Yep. So it's right on the main, right before you get to Gateway Drive.
Right here.
Let's see here.
I'm looking for parcel.
To your left a little bit.
Yeah, it's like right here.
There's one house on the corner.
It's like right here. Right here and here.
Oh, here.
Oh.
Is that right, Marty? Right here.
Yeah. Just right there, Scott.
Okay. Because this here was all taken out, all these trees through here. Okay, well.
So this has been approved by planning and zoning, and it's just a...
See, now, somebody needs to clarify something, because we talked about this before. Remember, Marty, when you said something about the snow removal? Now, is this, when you come underneath the bridge, city?
Careful, Bob, you're on the cord.
Or down further.
City?
Right there.
This is the city right here, right?
I think it is.
But that's what I've always been told. The city right where Gateway Drive starts is where the city from here. But
we do snow removal.
For some reason, I think it's farther than that down. Because I remember, Marty, you saying something about the snow removal on the sidewalk and they had everything? And I thought that was the city's, but then...
Well, here, let me put the city limits line on.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, okay, so there you got it. So then it does go halfway back then.
Yeah.
So it does go halfway back, the city. And I always, like I said, I was always told it was right at Gateway Drive, but obviously it's in between.
That's why it's not going to be annexed.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Does it have to be designated as commercial or anything like that, or not really as part of this?
Must be all residential.
Well, around the corner there, they put those metal buildings in.
Yep.
And the information that I hear is that they're going to do the same thing with those three lots there, but I don't know what they're zoned.
Would you know, Jolene, how they zoned it?
Just kind of looked like they wanted to divide up that parcel a little bit, so...
I can't imagine.
I really haven't got a lot of information from South School.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine putting houses down along there. I mean, to me, it's a metal building, toy shed type thing.
Yeah.
Road. Okay.
Well, Well, anyway, it comes as with a favorable recommendation from the planning and zoning, so.
Okay, so, I mean, obviously, this went through them and the approval. We kind of rubber stamp what they do out there, right? I mean, that's kind of why we delegate things to them. So I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 22C-029 for the approval of, is it Rogers?
Brogers.
Brogers? I don't know. Subdivision. Plat. South Sioux City. Territory.
Oh.
Township. Dakota County. All right, that's my motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right. Motion by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay. Item 4, under miscellaneous, Jolene Goobles is here with her road report.
Hey, Jolene.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
Hi. We had 288 hours of maintaining. 4 hours picking up garbage, 3 hours of snow removal, 10 hours hauling gravel. We hauled 144 tons of 1.5 inch crushed concrete, 18 hours on sign repair, and grading requests for L Avenue, F Avenue, and Blyberg Road. Jackie signs did come in last week.
Okay.
So.
Springtime, you're going to bury it? Is that what you're thinking?
You were going to talk with Ron a little bit.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on what if he wants to try to get some family together and et cetera. So they're ready to go and is it probably now best till spring? You think, or can we get them in?
I haven't been doing the work, so I don't.
Well, this is what you got to do. You're
frozen the ground.
Well, I don't know how the ground can't be frozen much, but then. The diggers, yeah, there can't be nothing. Where you're going to put them at, they got to be all sunlight, I would think.
Right.
Just a
right, area. Yeah.
But you got to call the diggers people, and who knows what's going to happen between now and whenever they get everything marked and when it works for you guys. So
okay. I'll let you
I would
know.
Say that it's... what are you going to say to her discretion?
Well, I'll talk to Ron. He was maybe trying to get some family together for that, but if that doesn't work out, then okay. We can just do it whenever we want to do
all
it.
Right.
So.
Ready? Work on the locates and get that started. Anything else?
Thank you for
Larry.
Thank you.
Anything else?
What about? I forgot what it was.
All right, we'll move on.
I'm sure if it comes back to you, Larry, we'll talk about it, right?
I don't worry about it.
Right on.
Okay, item B is board action regarding parcels eligible for foreclosure to the county attorney's office in accordance with 77-1918 and 77-1901.
Okay, so what do we got going on here? Who can shed a little light on this story? Because I see there's previous minutes, and obviously we got the parcels, and we got our motions. So what's
I think Kim pulled something up or not.
Actually preparing for court also, so got strict court number.
What's that?
So these parcels, Kim, are they
been on tax sale certificate for 3 years, so the statute says that we shall, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. Take action. If delinquent more than 3 years, the board shall either enter an order directing the foreclosure of the lien of such taxes as provided in Statute 77-1901, or enter an order for the county treasurer to issue tax sale certificates to the county covering the delinquent taxes upon such real property to be foreclosed upon in the manner and at the time provided in 77-1901 through 77-1918.
Do
haven't done this for years. I've never been a part of it, so I'm a little in the...
Our office has never done it.
And the county attorney's office has never done it. We...
So what's our next move?
What are tax sale certificates versus disclosure or foreclosure? What's the difference between those two steps?
Well, I would think that from the get-go, they sell the certificates off where they get the interest, whoever buys the certificates, and then once, then after X amount of years, they go to foreclosure. Is that...
Mm-hmm.
These certificates were not purchased, correct?
Right.
Oh, we did do that step already.
Yes.
They weren't purchased.
The certificates were not purchased.
So basically,
they're
one.
At their 3 years.
Okay.
So now you're required to foreclose. I think we have to foreclose.
So we're at step one, and that's the only option we have because we already tried the other one, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Dawn, any comments on this?
I was just advised that we need to go forward doing this, and it was put off because last meeting it wasn't within the time frame for the 3 years, so it was put off till this meeting to either approve, you know, starting foreclosure process or doing county property deeds, or what are they called? I can't even think. Doing the county, turning them over to the county. Because they've been sitting there.
Okay, so basically somebody just needs to make, let me correct me if I'm wrong here, just need to make a motion, obviously, for the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 parcels for foreclosure through the county attorney's office. And then you take it from there then, Kim, I take it?
According to the statute.
Right.
And you also have the option of shipping it out, right? If she can't do
not
it.
Not if we ask her to do it.
Oh, okay.
I think you have the option to assign it to her or to another attorney, correct?
Yes.
So basically these properties, these 10, 12 properties, they've already been notified or well aware and just so have... been able to.
I don't know. We just had a property come forward that they were not aware that they were on this foreclosure list and are willing to purchase it back already. So.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, and that's kind of what this process.
Yeah, I spoke to Joan. Yes,
flushes out.
Jack Eric, 1419 Dakota Avenue, attorney. So I have clients. My clients are not, they are not the owners of the parcel in foreclosure, but they are willing to purchase one of the parcels that is in foreclosure. So however that works, whether it's foreclosed and then it's up at the tax sales like usual, or if it's repossessed by the county and then the county sells it, you know, however that needs to be done pursuant to the statute.
Right.
And, you know, whatever's going to work best for all 11 parcels, I do just want to put forward that on this specific parcel, there's interest by clients of mine to purchase that.
Okay.
And mitigate any of the outstanding foreclosure, any of the outstanding liens.
So.
Your clients was not the owner of those parcels?
No, correct. Yeah. My client is not in default.
Okay.
But they're interested in that parcel specifically that was, so.
And that's one of the things why these end up where they're at is because it may be somebody that died. It just kind of fell through the cracks over the years, and it just kind of went away. So I'm assuming that.
Well,
Jack,
I mean, if you look at the delinquent amount over a period of 3 years, even with penalties and interest, my guess is that the assessed tax on this is next to nothing.
Right.
So, yeah.
So there may be others that will be interested because there some of them are just little
properties that
and
are
if you
want to
look
value.
At them, I can bring
yeah.
it up. They're little strips of land or look like maybe it should have been a vacated alley.
Yeah. This one's adjacent to two parcels that my clients own, so they're more than willing to.
Right.
Corner in Jackson there where the.
Right on the corner corner?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll then.
And I can coordinate with Ken, you know, however you guys work it out, it's fine.
Okay.
Well, I think what we need to do is we need to make a motion, and obviously we haven't done this for years, but turn it over to Ken's office, and then I obviously, so like I said, you can contact Ken's office
absolutely.
And you guys can figure it out.
Yeah.
How's your mom? Good?
Everyone's good, yes.
Good.
Thanks, guys.
Good. All right.
So is that a motion, Scott?
I am going to make a motion for that for these 11 parcels, obviously to regarding the parcels, the eligible for foreclosure through the county attorney's office. And like I said, and like Kim, obviously we haven't done this for a long time, but let her research it, and then whoever people want to purchase them or whatever we do, or it's kind of a.
I'll second that.
Yeah, it's kind of. Like okay, I guarantee there's a lot of little different dinky this and that, obviously, for the dollar amounts. But okay.
That might be the trick, is contact the adjacent landowners and
help pick up
those little slivers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was another parcel that had the people's backyard fence across it that we looked up, and thinking that they're probably not even aware that they don't own it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it happens a lot.
Yep.
But if it sat there vacant for years and years and years and years.
Who's getting the tax bill on it, though? That's what you always wonder.
Well, sometimes nobody.
You can see who was getting a tax bill. It just wasn't being paid. And there are some people who have died. Mm-hmm. A lot of these are deceased, the people on that list.
Okay,
so we have a motion by Scott, seconded by Janet, then, I believe, to approve for the county attorney's office to foreclose or at least start the procedure for the foreclosure. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes, ma'am.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Okay, item C is approve Mid-American Section 125 Cafeteria Plan Renewal effective January 1, 2023. Joan, comments on this?
This is with Mid-American Benefits. It is effective January 1st. Even if we do not renew again with them in March, we can still carry our cafeteria plan with them from January to December. And on January 24, if you want to change it to someone who maybe got the new bid, you can at that time. But just for the timing of January 1, this would.
It doesn't coincide with their health insurance, though, from March to March?
Technically not.
Technically not.
No.
But it can be transferred?
It is separate, yeah.
This is to save pre-tax money, basically.
Right. It's an employee benefit to withhold pre-tax dollars for benefits that the county does not pay for. You can get a cancer policy. You can get a life insurance policy.
Why wouldn't we, right? I mean,
right.
Okay, so listen, this is what I'm going to do. Ms. Laney C. approved the Mid-American Section 125 Cafeteria Plan Renewal effective date January 1, 2023.
That's a motion.
That is my motion.
Okay, I'll second that. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Does the agreement allow for if we have get a different provider to switch to transfer?
Not mid-year, but it's January.
So then the following next January you'll be able to do something. 2024, right, Joan?
Yes. Yep. Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Item D is approve projects with monies from the American Rescue Plan relief funding. The first item on the agenda under that is discussion to approve or not purchase of parcel 220006881 from the Nebraska State Department of Transportation. Earlier this year, I believe, the state vacated, I don't know, was it this year, Jolene? The state vacated their yard down here in Dakota City. They're out on 110 now, so we looked into it as a, it would be a good fit for us and our road department for various reasons logistically, and so we've been waiting. So we reached out to them to potentially purchase that. We've been waiting now for 6 months, almost 6 months, on them to assess it and come up with a price on it, and they did. We just got a letter this last week. The price is $95,000, right, Joan?
$95,000
even. Okay, for that property. Jolene and I and Brent have all been there. There are some things. For instance, and really one of the drivers was the big hoop house down there that has the salt, et cetera, in it for the roads.
We've been talking about getting one for some time, you know, putting it over here once after we, you know, made the deal with the fire department.
Right, and this is, and that kind of tied in, Scott, to the conversation because a new hoop house, Jolene, was...
I was going to say
was
a hundred of 95 grand.
Was 100,000.
Is that, the way it looks today? Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's huge. How much land's here, anyways? It's a pie shape, right?
Yeah, I want to say.
The legal on the back side of that says 1.69 acres more or less. I didn't copy. Sorry, I didn't copy.
But anyway, Jolene, any comments on that as far as road department and potential use and things like that?
Well, location-wise, it would be very useful. Since we salt and sand some of the roads down in Tompkins Edition area, then we're not running back.
Close.
Yeah, we're not running back and forth to Hubbard all the time.
Very centralized.
Down Homer.
Isn't it?
Yes. The Hoop building is got a ton of sand or salt in it. That's going to come with it, which is a bonus.
Imagine that.
There's some stuff left in the yard that we could make use of, some materials, some stuff we could sell off for scrap iron. So there's a lot of cost savings involved there.
Well, just like you said, being centralized is huge, and that's what we kind of talked about, you know, back in the day when the fire department, when we took it, you know, putting a hoop house over there, instead of running clear back and forth to Emerson or Hubbard.
Right.
Yeah, so because the bulk of the roads, obviously, you know, like I said, Tompkins or, you know, C Avenue or et cetera, you know, Highway 20, and you've got, yeah, for 95 grand, I think it's, I don't know, you guys looked at it, I think it makes sense. What is it, 1 point some acres, you said?
Mm-hmm.
And you got a hoop house and you got some salt and you got a piece
there
of property.
Structure on the property.
There What's is that? Another building there. We could possibly store some signs in, or even maybe chemical for the lead department.
Is it all fenced in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Store culverts out there. If we start stockpiling culverts, wouldn't have to worry about trying to get that piece of ground out to Hubbard.
Yeah, that would be all locked up already. Yeah. So a lot of benefits to that.
Yeah. You guys like the idea, you and Brent, and going?
When we initially talked about it, Brent was really excited about it. Said, "Yeah, it would be a good deal." And depending on the price, of course, and
it's $95,000.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, as is, and they're going to walk away and leave us with everything that's there, salt included. So I really.
What would you use the liquid tank for?
We wouldn't. That'd be something
we'd
try and sell off.
So the guy sold that liquid tank off.
What's the value of that, you think, Larry?
Well, I would do nothing for it.
What would somebody get for it?
I would have no idea. The pot of labor of tearing it down and reconstructing it might cost more than it's worth. I don't know. They don't. But what I would do with the thing, I'd chop it off right there, get rid of that tank, and I'd sell the south half of that thing to Olson. They could add on some more bins. I might get the gallons left in that way.
There's a lot of material stored back in there, so it'd be something we'd have to see what we could get, salvage, scrap.
It'll be there from now on, just like over to Hubbard. We got shit sitting around over there, been there for years, and there will get out of there. Should be salvaged. Get it out and make space.
Well, I think the first, when we first talked to the state, they were, I think we were number one on the list because obviously we're a public body and you know, it would really fit our needs. So that's where we're at. If anybody has any other questions on that, concerns.
I think it's a great idea.
I think it's a no-brainer. The discussion and action, I don't know if anybody else wants to talk about it, but if they do, that's fine. I think, like I said, I think being centralized and the building and just everything, it works, it fits the criteria of us perfect. So I'll make a motion, because it says to approve or not to approve. I'll approve the purchase of the parcel of 22006881 from the state of Nebraska for $95,000 for the road department to access out of.
This is with ARPA money, right?
Yeah. That's correct. Yeah, these are all ARPA. These are ARPA funds. So motion by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve.
Can I ask a question, Kim? It's not on the claims list, but could they make a motion to approve a claim? Or should it wait in another 2 weeks before we say, here's our money? I guess I'm not sure how timely,
can't tell from this order.
I think they'd have to know that we have meetings and we approved it, and they can wait another couple weeks for their check.
Okay.
They got to understand that.
And this just said they need advice by December 31st.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have time.
Okay. So we'll put it back on the agenda as a claim next time.
Okay.
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 Okay. I'll take a roll of Scott's.
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. Okay, item two then is board to award bids for Moody Road Culvert Project. And those we have the bids here.
Ron Norris set up a tabulation of the bids and his recommendation to go with Gil Hauling since they were a little bitter.
Gil
Hauling.
We know what you knew.
They had a bid of $132,664.49.
What was that, Jolene? How much was it?
$132,664.49.
That's different than what we have. That's the
reason why. Let me put the calculations in. There was
Oh, okay, my bad.
I updated.
On that bid. There was also discussion on putting in a culvert pipe. I think with the discussion with Larry and Troy and Ron.
That was with the concrete in place of the steel.
Right.
But
we decided that was not a necessary step to do the concrete.
They would do it in there as an alternate, just in case it came out really cheap, which really isn't the case, so there's no point.
Okay.
So the
total base price is $132,664.49, which is Gil Construction. And then I see on this piece of paper it says alternate add for concrete pipe to $81,901.30. That's
in addition.
That's in addition to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
But they're not going to do it.
It would be an issue, but they decided not to go that route. So the total monies is going to be 132. Okay.
Okay, so
this is ARPA monies. This is ARPA monies too, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, this has been a long,
drawn out
haul talking about this, Moody, and it's necessary and it needs to be done. A lot of conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think with Ron Gill, he's been kind of advised about it on the advisory committee with it. He's there was issue or talk about if there's a funeral or what could be done, I think Ron would be a good person to be able to work.
They're all good contractors, but I think Ron's more hands-on being
in that area.
Yep.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yep. I get it. Okay.
Okay. Did we call roll?
I don't know if we made any motion.
We haven't
made a motion, so
we probably didn't call roll yet. Then,
So let's. Can I make a motion?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to award the bid for the Moody Road Culvert project to Hill Construction for the dollar amount, the total base bid of $132,664.49, and that is also coming out of the ARPA funds. That's my motion.
Okay.
I can second.
Thank you. Motion by Scott, seconded by Troy. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, one other item that you have in your packet was the, we have a...
Jeez, that's expensive.
An estimate for... this is...
Fire hazard.
This is for office equipment in the county attorney's office, which Kim has got this from Eeks here. So you have that in front of you. This is the quote for, it's just for the main entrance, correct, Kim? Main office area.
Front office.
Your front office.
The little mini
front office area, office. Which has been, I think it's been the way it's been since before Kim. So it's been a while.
Okay, so
and
when you look,
it's lacking the outlets, which is a problem.
Okay, so when you look through the window, mm-hmm. That's going to be this setup here.
Window.
Your.
The window where your gals people stand at.
No, they can't really do anything with that because of the window.
Okay.
But that blue stuff.
Right behind it. To your left.
All to the left.
It's blocking all the wall outlets.
Yeah. So is this kind of a remodel of that area? Is that kind of
Yes.
I hope so, at least so we can get to the outlets and not be a fire.
Okay.
Attorney number one.
And the first little tiny office that has old stuff in it.
On that. Yeah, not the out secretarial.
Okay.
It's an attorney.
Okay.
The moving stuff is the secretary area.
Okay.
So this is just another item that has come to us from our elected officials. As you know, we reached out to them and said, let us know what you need, and if you don't do it now, you know, it's going to be a hard time to do it later. So I think any of the money, as you all know, and I've said before, that we spend on upkeep of the courthouse, remodeling floors, et cetera, are well.
That was kind of the number one priority from the very get-go, wasn't it, or was it not? I know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But so the county court, clerk of court, Kim's office, everybody's been contacted. There'll be other things coming for the courtrooms as we go forward, but you'll be aware of those as we go. But this is what we have today.
$2,147.51.
For Kim's office.
And like, did she mention something that the outlets and fire hazard or something?
Well, we can't get to the wall. So we're extension cord into
Search protector. Yeah.
This will take care of all that.
It's supposed to.
I don't think she's asking for much, and she wants to.
Would this normally come through the budget? I guess I'm just trying to figure out. Would this normally come through the budget? I'm thinking of the carpet and the treasures. I mean, how this all fits in. But I mean, I understand where we're.
I suppose, Janet. I mean, you could.
It could be buildings and grounds.
You could budget for it.
It could be.
Yeah.
I don't know where his budget's at right now.
Yeah. I mean.
But.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm fine with that. I'm just thinking, trying to figure out where if this is. The type of project that it's ARPA. That's fine.
No, we would have just left it.
Listen, for the $2,100 and some odd dollars, $4,751.
It's a little more than that. It's that second page too. Plus the $790
to. Oh, $790 on the back side as well.
Break down the.
Well, that's the electrical part of it.
Labor.
That's what the secretary said.
Yes.
So there is.
$790
more
than that. Okay. Right at $3,000.
It's high quality. But you know, office furniture don't take long. Now, the approval, I'll make a motion to approve the purchase of the new office furniture for the county attorney's office for the total of hold on here, $2,147.51 plus the $790. Okay, I can do the math real quick if you need me to.
No.
I think you guys got the logistics.
We'll take a second.
Yes, sir.
Second. Motion by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve the claim for the county attorney's office. Carl, the roll, please. Joan.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Okay, then item five, commissioner committee reports. Scott, anything?
I don't think I have any. I'm sure I'm missing something, but I think last time I was already here when we had the health department. Mm-hmm. I think I already talked about that. I'll have some more next time around. I will, because it'll be till the 12th, and I think I got a couple minutes. So
okay.
I'll inform you next time around.
Okay. Janet?
A couple of things. I actually attended with you the Dakota County Rural Economic Development. There was a presentation on TIFs, which was very, very interesting, micro TIFs as well as regular TIFs. I'd like to learn more about that. The PowerPoint didn't work, but we got it later, so that was good. Also, I did call, if you remember the last meeting, we had visited about some interest in a solar farm or whatever here. I did get a call from that gentleman that had sent that letter out and indicated that they are looking at potential sites for solar in the area. They're trying to transmission is their key, and finding clients to purchase the power. So anyway, his name is Josh, and I'll send it to you guys, and he's willing to come and talk to you about what they're thinking.
So I think the solar thing in the county kind of, how do I want to put this? My brother had it going to be installed in his house in Dakota Flats, and it was going to go on his house, and he had everything done, approved, and then all of a sudden, planning and zoning had an issue with it because they tried saying that somebody told him that he was taking his neighbor's son so he could not put it on his roof. Dumbest shit I've ever heard. True story. Yeah, he said I couldn't believe it. But yeah, so anything, it came to a screaming halt. Yeah.
This is more of a commercial project.
Yeah, right. I know. But I'm just
one.
Saying.
Yeah.
I'm just
yeah,
saying I wouldn't.
Yeah.
It seemed like everything.
I don't remember anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a fine solar thing.
Unless they were just pointing fingers because they didn't have things set up to do things here. If they were trying to say, you know, giving him some BS, I don't know. But that's when he told me that. Yeah, he was wound up like a 10-day clock. I'm like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I thought the board was pretty liberal as far as.
Yeah, I figured they would be too.
It was before Larry's time.
I don't think so. It was just recently.
So it was Clearway, Josh. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
I mean, it's more of a commercial.
Right.
And we have some zone. Nope, that's it.
It just made me think of his. Okay. Somebody stealing his son. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something that he couldn't take his neighbor's son.
Larry. Anything? No. Troy?
I had a North Star service meeting last week just to kind of clean up some year-end stuff.
Okay. Were they doing well?
This year wasn't the best.
Anything else, Troy?
No.
Okay. The Joan and I had a audit call, our exit call with the auditors this morning. It went really well. It did. There's just a couple of minimal things that we need to address that have been going on for a while. But overall, really good. A really good report. So just wanted to share that.
That's good news.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and also, I will be gone tomorrow for the whole week. Just FYI. Joan, anything, mail and or emergency business or anything else for the cause?
Two things addressed to the board. December 5 is the jail standards comes to inspect the jail. And notice a hearing again, TIF, same place, HCI Real Estate. I'm not sure if it's, is it a second hearing? December 12th at 5 p.m. Did anybody go to the last one?
Do they have to have three hearings? Or is that, am I not thinking?
I don't know if they.
That's a pass.
I wonder if they didn't have the hearing. You're right, it was the 5th.
It was after our last meeting, and now they're having another one, so I'm not sure what happened. I didn't. But anyway, at 5 o'clock on December 12th, take action on redevelopment plan HCI Real Estate 39th and G redevelopment project.
It sounds familiar. It sounds like it's the same one.
It is the same one. But maybe something changed a little bit. I just wondered if anybody attended. I didn't. I just got it today. I haven't really had a chance to look at it.
I would like to attend them, but I think I just get too passionate because I've seen too much bad things happen for the county. And I get it. But, you know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that, you know, Wayne Boyd, you know, and I brought it up to him about percentage-wise on those TIFs, you know, that the county could get a certain dollar amounts, you know, from each tip as it's done. Anyways, he said you can draw it up however you want, however the city and the county wants to do it. You know, so, you know, where the county could get some tax revenue out of it. And I don't know if the city, I don't know. I'd like to talk to the mayor about that. Maybe I want to make myself a mental note to call him and just ask him if it's something that if I waste my time to come into or...
It was a really good turnout at that TIF meeting.
You bail me out of jail, Janet, if I go? If I get in trouble?
Nope, not going to do that. I'm off the board in two weeks. But there was a really good turnout, I thought, at that
TIF meeting. Kim, will you bail me out?
TIF meeting.
All right, I got back to 10 guys back. All right, I'm going to that thing, the 12th.
Scott, Troy?
Yeah. Oh,
you can bail
seriously?
Me out. Yeah, because I get mad. I get angry.
Scott, we've had Troy and I went to a hearing probably what 6 months ago or so, and had that conversation with the city of South Sioux, and I agree with you that we need to be, and I told them at that meeting that we need to be better negotiators on the front end, because a lot of times the city, whatever city it is, they control all the, it's like Vegas, they control all the cards, they make all the rules and things like that. Troy and I were there, and I've seen, and I've said at this board before, is the things that I see in the paper that Woodbury County has done over there as far as TIFs, it's different. Iowa counties can TIF, we can't. But what we can do, and Troy was with me, was that we told South Sioux, for instance, when the casino is coming in, and that was the hearing on the casino that day, and I told them, I said, you know, and they could say no, but I said, we want to be more involved on the front end when we do this negotiation, we're not going to sit by as a board and let them not know what we want to do. So just real simply, how what I told them was, so let's just say we have a $200 million facility, right? And if the property that it's built on is only worth $100,000, yep. We get the taxes on $100,000 for 15 years,
yep.
Right? And that's how it's been in the past. Well, that's, if it's up to me, that's not how it's going to be going forward. And again, South Sioux can say no. They can say, you know, but Bob or board, have a nice day. Thanks for coming, but we're not changing the way we do it. But what I want to see, and especially the, and Tim Decker was there as well, too, and he put in his 2 cents, but he said that, you know, with the casino coming, there's going to be the clientele that it's going to bring to the city and the county. It's a little different than some TIFs and some projects. So what I want to see from the county standpoint is, let's say it's this $200 million or whatever it is. I hope it's $500 million, because what we want is after, say, 2 years, $25 million comes back on the tax rolls. And after 3 years, another 25 comes back on the tax roll. So we get our return quicker than just sitting by, like, you know, we have and for 15 years, and we get taxes on 100,000, and the 200 million's over here, and we get nothing on that for 15 years minimum. So, but with a casino, you know, you don't think that's going to increase our jail population? By what's going to come in,
and you're going to have some coverage to coverage what's going to take place.
And so, but anyway, so I'll just finish up by saying the bottom line is, so I told Lance and I told the city and they had their tax TIF attorney on the speakerphone, and so I gave him my 2 cents, and then Lance asked him after that. He said, so whatever the guy's name is on the speaker's phone, he said, so what Bob just said that they could do with the county or for the county as far as structuring those TIFs, he says, is that all? Can he do that? Oh, yeah. So we're not going to sit by and let him do it.
I wouldn't either. You know, and over the years, I probably should have been a little more proactive, because when I talked to Wayne Boyd, I think it was about the time, and you know, when he was on his ouch, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, God rest his soul. But he, yeah, and it just kind of got forgotten about. He told me you can structure however you want to structure.
But you know, I don't know if I told you before, but Woodbury, what they did for that Seaboard Triumph, I think that's like $1 billion. It's a lot of money. They tiffed all the county right away roads all in the whole county. Okay, so then if there's a project come in like Seaboard, guess what? All it's got to do is be just contiguous. It touched that, down they go, and guess what? All that money they got, so they ramped that up. They're getting $100 million back this year and $200 back next year. It's a great deal. And I got the documents from Woodbury County. They're you know, it's an open meeting. They'll share, et cetera. So, you know, we learn a little bit from, or learn lots from what other states and counties do. But I think we just need to be proactive as we go forward. So
I agree.
Even if that bill, that'll be in the city limits, the casino.
Right.
So how does the county commissioners tell the city council what to do?
We can't tell them. We can suggest.
Yeah.
Okay, and like I said, they can tell us, like, thanks for coming, we're not doing it. But it's got to be, it depends on how it's structured. If they structure it like Ho-Chunk did their development, their housing development down there, Ho-Chunk put all that money up. They're the ones getting the return on the taxes that come in on that. So it depends how it's structured. So the other way they do it is the city then... You have to put in infrastructure. You have to do this. So the city has all the obligations for the construction costs. So it depends on how they do it. But there's a way. So it's either the city's going to tell us no, or Ho-Chunk would tell us no, And I don't know what they did in Lincoln, but they're already doing that. Anyway, I'm going to get off my horse on the TIF. So
I was going to jump right back on it with you, but I'm not going to.
No?
No, I'm not. But I was I was going to, but no, I'm good.
But anyway, I just think we need to be a little more proactive and tell them what we want.
Well, and like I said, at that meeting, there was a lot of people from the schools concerned about the schools and how the money flow for the school, if mm-hmm. there's growth in the school district. So it kind of makes sense.
It does.
Because they're the ones that probably lose the most. It's the schools.
Right. We can sit back and bitch about it, but if we're not going to be proactive about it,
right.
we have no reason to complain.
Work smarter, not harder?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, anything else? If not, we are adjourned.
All right, thanks, everybody. And Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah. We got one more meeting before then.
Don't we?
We do.
Oh, yeah, the 12th. Okay, I'll be here.
You sure?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to Arizona?
I'm going to Arizona tomorrow.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, for a few days to go up with some friends.
Yeah?